All right, look in your Bibles, the book of Joshua tonight, the book of Joshua chapter 11. I appreciate all the singing, amen. Appreciate each one of you being here in the house of God tonight. And let me say this, it's on my heart, I was thinking about it while all the singing's been going on. I do appreciate everyone singing from their heart this week. But I'm thankful for these young people being in the house of God, amen. I travel up and down the country, and there's places there ain't that many young people in the whole building, let alone try to get them to sing. Amen. I've seen some of them, make them get up there, and they'll giggle and look around, not really do much about it. But I appreciate you young people singing for the Lord. And I mean that. That's helping this preacher. Now, I'm telling you that from the depth of my heart. If I can encourage them, I won't do that. Amen. God saved me when I was 10 years old. God called me to preach. I was 15. It wasn't for some old-time saints, Brother Rusty, cheering me on, helping me. I wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. So I sure want to help these young folk, be an encouragement to them. Joshua chapter 11, you stand if you're willing and able. Joshua chapter 11, verse number 15 tonight. You pray God to strengthen our voice and touch us by the Holy Ghost. If he don't, there won't be no preaching done. We must have him. Amen. In Joshua chapter 11, verse number 15. The Bible said, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills, all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal Gad and the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. And Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, inhabitants of Gibeon. All of them they took in battle, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua, cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anath, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. And Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza and Gath and Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight one more time for the privilege, the opportunity to stand and to preach your word. Oh, my Father, I pray tonight. Oh, God, help us. I pray. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I ask you, Lord, to strengthen my voice and my body that I might preach. I'm the preaching that you bid me tonight. Lord, I pray you prepare the hearts and the mind of each one gathered here tonight. Lord, I pray again for those souls who are lost in this place tonight. I pray this would be the night that the sweet Holy Ghost convict them and draw them and then call upon you and be saved. Lord, help us as your people how to keep going forward with you and to serve you and bring you glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 22 tonight, where the Bible said there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. I'll preach tonight, God being my helper on this subject. Don't stop short of victory. I don't stop short of victory. I want to go on record tonight and remind us of this fact, that the Lord has been in our midst in these days of meeting, and He's touched our hearts and done a work in our hearts in these days. But if we're not real careful, I will stop and not keep going forward. Now listen to me before you get nervous. I ain't talking about an extension of a meeting. I'm talking about what God's doing in us, letting Him keep working on us and drawing us closer to Him and conforming us more unto His image. And the danger tonight is that we had stopped short of victory in the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I've seen it over and over again in my own life. Boy, God is spurring me on, working on me. And then I get lazy and back off. Amen. I'll be honest for all of us. Amen. And I find myself starting to go backwards then. Amen. There's a danger in this kind of meeting. After God spoke to your heart, after He's done a work in your heart, that you'd stop as short of going further with Him than you ever have gone before. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, as God's been stirring us, we need to let Him help us how to go further with Him than ever before. There's three things I want you to notice in our text, and I'll be done tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 15, at the command that God gave. The Bible said, as the Lord had commanded Moses, His servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Now, I ain't got time nor voice. I had to read all these scriptures. I see you write them down and read them, get caught up on your Bible reading tonight. Amen. But over in Exodus chapter 34, verse 11 through 17, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 13, half through 18, we find God gave Moses some commands what the children of Israel were to do and not to do when they got into Canaan's land. Now, look at me. You've liked me thus far. Don't get mad at me now. You get singing Canaan lands just inside, I'm going to shout with you. I know you're singing about heaven, and that don't bother me. But I'm going to be real honest with you. Canaan is more a type of the Christian life than it is heaven. Amen. Brother Dennis, when we get to heaven, we ain't going to have to fight the fight no more. Amen. We'll have to put the armor on here. We have to have the sword of the Spirit here. But thank God when we get home, we'll be done with all that. How the battle will be over with. Amen. I'm glad that we're headed out to the city whose builder and maker's God. Amen. But right now, we're in the nasty now and now. Amen. And God gave them some commands. He said to them, number one, don't make any covenants with them. Don't get yoked up with them. Amen. Oh, some of you getting real nervous. I can tell on your face. Amen. He said, don't make any covenants with them. He said, don't let your children marry their children. Amen. He said, go in and tear down their altars, tear down the groves, get rid of all the false gods out of the land. He said, if you don't, it'll wind up being a snare to you later. Amen. He said, drive them out. Wipe them out. I say this often, but I mean it. I love America. But we're the only country in the world go blow everybody up and spend billions to build them back. There ain't another country in this world will do that. Amen. If our leaders would read the Old Testament. Amen, Brother Rusty. If they just go and see what He told Israel to do, He'd straighten America out. Amen. Amen. Learn how to fight a fight. You don't fight a fight with one arm tied behind your back. Amen. You don't go in before you had to get to a point and quit. You go to win. Amen. And God said, that's what Israel, you're to do. I don't make covenants. I don't get intermingled with their people. I don't follow their gods. But you, I drive them out, and you will possess the land that I promised you. Hey, I'll tell us tonight, God's gave us some commands. I told you last night, this is not a book of suggestions. Now, most Baptists think it is. This is the right answer, not Jed. Most Baptists think it's a book of suggestions, but it's a command from God. Can I tell you, it is not a suggestion to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but it's a command. You're looking at a preacher, believes the greatest sin that most Christians are committing today is failure to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, that scares some Baptists. They're so scared another crowd talks about that. I'll tell you something. Listen to me. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, you won't talk in unknown tongue. But it will get control of the tongue you got.
Amen.
Amen. And don't talk about being full of the Holy Ghost. You're gossiping and backbiting and running everybody down. You ain't no more filled with the Holy Ghost than nothing. Amen. Hey, he said, be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. That's a command. Amen. He told us not to be an unequally yoke with unbelievers. Amen. He said, come out from among the world and be a separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. I was telling my family the other night, there's a preacher preaching a meeting somewhere. Man, he is a preacher on sin every night. And that folk got to talk, said, he ain't never going to preach on the love of God. He don't preach on love. So he said the next night, he said, you come back tomorrow and I'm going to preach on love. And he got up the next night and said, all right, 1 John 2, love not the world. Amen. That's right. Hey, he said we're not to love their ways and get involved in their deeds, but we're to be a separated, holy, dedicated people. He bought us with a price. We're not our own. Amen. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he said, come out from among them and be ye separate.
Amen.
Amen. Now again tonight, some of you get nervous. You're so scared I'm going to get on things that you're tore up. And I'm going to repeat myself from the other night. Somebody greater than me has already got a lot louder than I can get tonight. He's telling you what's wrong in your life. That's why you get nervous when they get preaching on love, not the world. Amen. I'm telling us the command of the Word of God is for us to be separate, not isolated. Do you hear me? Not isolated. That's what most Baptists say. We're going to stay in our corner. Somebody mentioned this the other night, and they're right. They're going to be shocked when they get to heaven and find out more than their little group made it. With a number that can't be numbered. I mean, one, they're going to be so. It's a good thing they have a glorified body. Otherwise, they'd have a nervous breakdown that somebody outside their circle made it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad it ain't to the brethren whether I get to go to heaven. Amen. I'm glad it ain't to the brethren whether you get to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you've been to Calvary and the blood's been applied, hey, you're heaven bound, the hammer down. Ain't nothing nobody can do.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, we as God's people, we need to be reminded of what God said. And God this week has been working in your heart. Everything he's touched you about, he meant to do that. Amen. He didn't accidentally deal with you. Now, I have met those that think what God did in their heart is for them few nights. Then when them nights is over with, go do what you want. But that ain't so. What he laid his finger on, he meant. There's some folk tonight, Brother Rusty would got in this thing all week, but way back under, Pastor, you preached on something. And God the Holy Ghost said, there it is. And the joy bells quit ringing. And the shout died off. Now I want to tell you, the bells ain't going to ring again. The shout ain't going to roll again until you do something with what God's already gave you. Amen. I'm telling you, you better not stop short of victory. The command was, go all the way. Serve God. Love God. Do His will. Hey, I've never been sorry that I followed Him.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I don't have much according to the world. Don't have much at all. Don't even own a house. Live in a fifth wheel with four kids and a wife.
Heavy more.
I tell you this, anybody else comes in, it ain't going to be hard to spot you. Amen. We're sold out. That's what God told us to do. Amen. But some are looking and say, poor, pitiful preacher. I'm going to tell you something. I'm having the time of my life. Amen. I don't regret a mile, 38,000 plus last year, traveling up and down the country preaching the word of God. I'm going to tell you, it's worth every mile. It's worth the voice trouble. It's worth everything. I deserve God. I'd rather serve Him and go with Him than anything I know. Amen. Hey, he said to Joshua, remember the commandment God gave Moses, and Moses instructed you in. Amen. All I am is a bread carrier. That's all I am. A messenger. Amen. Preacher, you know, a message has never really bothered me if I wasn't guilty. I have never got upset in any kind of way if they weren't preaching to me. It's easy to ag that man on when he ain't coming down your road. But when the plow hits ahead of your row, begins to plow in it, oh, it's different then. Amen. I'm telling you, God sent us by just to give you this book. That's all I'm giving you. Amen. This Bible will stand when the world burns up. Hey, and when the smoke all clears, it'll still be us and Jesus. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you what God has touched your heart about, what He's challenged you with. If it's to pray more, how to study more, to witness more, get closer, whatever He said, that's what you better do. Amen. That's the command we see. Can I say secondly, not only see the command, but in verse 16 down through verse number 21, we see the conflict. Notice with me some words in verse 16. He says, and so Joshua took. Verse 17, the last part, he took and smote them and slew them. Verse 18, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Last part of verse 19, all other they took in battle. Verse number 20, in battle, had destroyed them utterly. He might destroy them. Verse 21, cut off. Last part, Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There's a conflict. Amen. I want you to hear me. Look at me now. You young Christians, really listen to me. I got saved young. I got called to preach young, 15 years old. And I'd watched them old time saints, Brother Dennis, and I wanted just what they had. I wasn't hung up looking at that liberal crowd and the modernistic crowd. The moment I saw that, that didn't interest me. Because I didn't know what was real. Amen. Amen. It done got a hold of me. Amen. Now, my first sermon I had preached, my pastor thought God made his first mistake. And I wasn't too sure of that myself. Because all I said was, that's been all come out. I was scared out of my mind. By the way, I'm still pretty scared. Amen. I'm a nervous wreck before I get up, preach, still tore it, then tore it back, it's over with. Why? Because responsibility lies on me. We're not talking about something entertaining. We're talking about eternity. Amen. Heaven and hell for somebody. Somebody going on, somebody stopping. It's all in the balance. Amen. But I began to learn and hear about the spirit-filled life and about having victory. And boy, I was interested in that. And I, as a 15-year-old, now you got to imagine a 15-year-old thinking. And that's an amazing thought right there. Amen. Amen. But I got to think, there'll be a day. I get a certain age, this stuff quit bothering me. That's what I thought. I thought I'd get in the altar somewhere and pray long enough, cry long enough, holler loud enough, this stuff quit bothering me. Then I come to reality. There is no such place on this side of heaven. Amen. There's a battle raging. It's real. This ain't make-believe. The moment you really sail out to serve God, the enemy is coming to attack. The warfare begins to intensify. It's on. You see, the devil ain't never bothered me before now because you wasn't doing nothing. Amen. Why would he bother with somebody done God? What, you, as long as you're doing nothing, you're no threat. Amen. But when you finally get saved and you finally say, I'm going really with the Lord, I sink or swim, live or die, don't matter what anybody else says, then the enemy puts a big target on you. And he begins to throw things and to fight you and to try to discourage you and to get you out of this fight. Amen. It's real. It's rugged. Hey, our enemy does not have a rule of conduct. What's that they talk about? The Geneva Convention? He don't believe it and he ain't never read it. Amen. Jesus said he's a thief. And what does a thief want to do? Jesus said, steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. He wants to steal your joy, steal your peace. Yeah. Amen. Steal that zeal, steal your shout. Yeah. Amen. Hey, he wants to kill. Well, preacher, he can't kill. You're right. We belong to God. We ain't living this world that God says we are. Amen. But he can kill your testimony. Amen. And all you and I've got in this world's our name. Amen. Our testimony is important. And the devil wants to kill it. Then destroy. Now, most of you say, well, the devil's after all you preachers. You got that right. He wants us. He wants our families. Wives, children, he wants us. But if you're saved, he wants your family. Amen. He'd like to destroy your home as sure as he went to preacher's home. Amen. There's a battle raging. And now look back at verse 18 just a second. The Bible said, and Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Now, if you and I ain't careful in our Bible reading, when we get in the book of Joshua, and they cross, go through on dry land of the Jordan. When we come to Joshua 11, we think it ain't been but a day or two. And it's been longer than a day or two. They tell us it's somewhere between 5 and 7 years that this has been going on. That tells me and reminds you, this warfare is not going to end till we either go by the grave or Jesus gets us all out of here. Amen. Amen. My children, will tell you, I am not wanting to go on no individual load to heaven. No. Are you more spiritual than I am? You say, Lord, just take me now. I want to go on the main load. If I get having chest pains, if the cell don't work in this building, go down the road till you get a signal. Land a helicopter somewhere around here. Get me to Mission Hospital as fast as you can. I love living. Amen. I want to go out with the Lord when he calls the saints up. Amen. But until one of those things happen, I'm going to fight the devil, the flesh, and the world. My flesh fights me. You ever notice you have one of them sleepless nights? You can cut TV on, watch every show they've ever come up with, and you're no more sleepy than when you first started. But if you open your Bible up, get to reading, you get halfway through a chapter, and you begin to nod off. You ever notice that? The flesh loves worldly things, but the flesh ain't too thrilled with spiritual things.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Then the world's appalling. Hollywood's trying to convince us that sodomy's okay. There is not a new show on television that don't have one of those sodomites somewhere to show. I promise you, I'm right. And have you ever noticed If somebody says they know God on one of them shows, they're portrayed as a bigot. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody hates everybody. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right. And this sodomite, poor sodomite. Mm. Now I'm telling it right. And by the way, that ain't hate preaching. Because I want to tell you something, I want to see them get born again. I don't want nobody to go to hell. Right. But what they do is wrong. Amen. What they do is sin. Right. Amen. And the world have you believe, my friend, that drinking's all right. Amen. I appreciate, sister, what you said. It's the beginning of the end. Right. It's going to take you to the bottom. It ain't going to be a good trip. Amen. That's right. The world, Hollywood, the music industry, they paint all these pretty pictures of what you ought to have and what you ought to go after. For every beer commercial, they'll have to show a man in the gutter. I promise you, there's nobody that's hit rock bottom as a drunk, a doper, anything, that ever start out wanting to go that far. It starts out just wanting to feel a little good, a little buzz. Amen. But the wages of sin is still death. James said that it ain't the devil making us do it. You remember that all come out years ago, everybody that said, the devil made me do it. The devil ain't made you do nothing. No, he ain't. James said we're led away of our old lust. And lust brings sin. Did you notice what he said? And sin when it is finished. Finished with what? Finished with you.
Amen.
Amen. We're about like Absalom's donkey. You ever read that where he got hung in the trees and had long hair and all that? The mule walked on. He was riding the mule. It looked pretty good. Sounded awful sweet. But the mule left him hanging. That's what sin will do for you. It'll say, now, it's hurt everybody else, but hey, you ain't everybody else. You're so much stronger. It'll be okay. Amen. Flesh will eat that up. Amen. We're fighting the devil, the flesh, and the world every day. Every day. Amen. By the way, if there's no conflict goes on inside of you, there's a real problem. I have the old man, and I have the new man. Amen. And they're butting heads. They cannot and they will not get along. You heard this story, no doubt, with that missionary that had the person got saved and came to talk to him after a while. And he said, preacher, there's a fight going on in me. He said, well, describe it to me. He said, it's like two dogs are fighting, a white dog and a black dog. And the preacher said, well, tell me, which one wins? He said, the one to feed. Amen. You see, that's what the house of God does for the spiritual. It helps him to be strong and to grow. Amen. That's why when you're by yourself in the house, you need to open up that Bible. Amen. Amen. Some Christians, let me borrow your Bible, they have to knock the dust off of it before Sunday. And you wonder why you're always defeated. Go home, read Matthew 4. When Jesus led the Spirit out in the wilderness and the devil came to him, what did he use in running the devil off? The Word. Oh, he said, it is written. The devil ain't afraid of Stony Fort. The devil ain't afraid of Evangelist Davy Shelton. He'll laugh at us. But when we say, it is written. Amen. Amen. Thus saith the Lord God of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Let me help you if you ever hear this knucklehead crowd telling you about some italicized words in your King James Bible that they shouldn't be there. You ever hear that mess? Get away from them. They said them were just added by the translators. When Jesus said, man, not live by bread alone there, Matthew, if you find your reference, it says the book of Deuteronomy, you go in that word, and if you know what an italicized word is, you understand. If not, come to me, I'll show you. In Deuteronomy, there's a word in italics. They said, these smart folk, that was put there by the translators. But when Jesus quotes it, no italicized word. I got the sneaking suspicion that the Lord knows it's supposed to be there. It's going to be there. I've got just a little bit of a hunch, Brother Rusty.
Yes,
amen. You've got a perfect Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Use your weapon on the enemy, your flesh, the devil, and the world.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, there's a conflict. Hey, we're in a battle tonight.
Amen.
Amen. There is the command. There is the conflict. Number three, there is the consequences. Verse 22. Look at our verse just a minute. He said there was none of the Anakims. Now, who's the Anakims? That's the sons of Anak, the giants. You remember in Numbers 13 when Moses sent 12 spies in to look over the land of Canaan? And they came back, 10 had a bad report. Joshua and Caleb, they brought back a good report. Everybody of them 10 especially got talking about giants. And said, we're grasshoppers. But Josh and Caleb are carrying around a cluster of grapes.
Yeah,
they said, oh, we saw them. But you'll try this.
Yeah.
Oh, they're there. But God's give us the land.
Amen.
Try one of these grapes.
Yeah.
By the way, I've seen some big clusters in my life, but none is big enough that take two men and a stick to carry them.
Amen.
You really believe that, preacher? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. If I can't believe that, there ain't no way to believe John 3:16.
Amen.
Amen. Joshua and Caleb said, but then we're able. Let's go get it. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's ours. Let's enjoy it.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, that was the promised land that God had told Abraham and Isaac and Jacob about. Josh and Caleb was ruined. Mountain folk know what that is. That's ruined. They done got them a taste of the Canaan land. Somebody said, preacher, you're the oddest, but you just go wild. I got a taste. Amen. I never got over it. Don't want to ever get over it. I'm happy in Jesus alone. Thank God I'm glad. There is a better side to this thing. There's victory for the child of God. And for this, go claim it. Amen. It is available to every Christian. It's not just preachers. It's not just grandmas. But everybody who's been washed in the blood, there is victory in Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Yes, sir. They saw them giants. Amen. Amen. Some here not maybe have a giant killing. That'll preach, wouldn't it? Amen. He said there, and I'm going to look at it again. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Boy, that'd been a great verse if it said, period. Explanation point. That'd been a good verse. Amen. His will still be shouting today. But then we get two words that change the whole atmosphere. Only in. Here's you a worldly illustration. You better grab it right here. You ready? That's like Brother Rusty. We've got together, had breakfast and lunch together a few times. And the conversation always comes up. What would you like to eat? And there's a time I was pretty picky. You live on the road long enough, you eat it all.
Amen.
I I used to say, I'll eat anything, but, and name something. That but, that except, nullifies what I just said. I won't eat just anything. That was deep. The lights have gone on. That's what's said in this verse. They have a military presence in the land of Canaan, but there's still some strongholds. He said only in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod there remain. There's consequences stopping short. If you don't believe they stop short, get in the book of Judges and read. There's a theme through the book of Judges. Sin, servitude, salvation. You read it? Why? Stopping short. Stopping short. There are consequences if you and I stop short of victory. These meetings are good. Now, I wish every meeting was like this, I preach. But every meeting ain't like this. Amen. Because everybody ain't the same. I'm going to be in a church soon. They're not real loud, but they love Jesus. And I can preach. They ain't going to get near this wound up. Nowhere near this wound up. That's right. Amen. I'm in some places, I scare them from the first word I say. They get that roller coaster look going downhill. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Terrified. He's sweating. He's spitting. He's yelling. Amen. Blame them old preachers. It's their fault. I got around them too long. Amen. It works. Amen. Hey, but there's consequences if we stop. It's good victory in here tonight. But the meeting, as us assembling together, will come to an end. I've been in them go 3 weeks, but it had a time come to an end. But victory don't stop when the meeting stops. If we keep going and let God keep working on us, amen, there's greater victory ahead. But the danger lies in that we stop. That we no longer go forward with the Lord. He said they're left in Gaza. Don't that sound familiar? Gaza. The book of Judges chapter 16. There's a strong man by the name of Samson. Chapter 14, chapter 15. Chapter 15, now get this. This is worthy to note. Chapter 15 is the last time the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord come upon Samson. Everything he did in chapter 16 was in the energy of the flesh. Oh yeah. No spiritual power. But you read what he did. He did some miraculous things in chapter 16. Why would them Philistines flee after he wake up the first time in Delilah's lap? All I had to do is punch one. If one hit the ground, it's all going to run. Because every time they ever saw him fight, it was the first one, then the next one, and then hundreds. All I had to do is connect with that first one, buddy. We can do some pretty mesmerizing stuff in the flesh. They're looking at me like calf at Newgate. But I'm preaching right. He comes to that final time, he tells his heart. Young folk, listen to me. It was not Samson's hair. That was a sign of his covenant. Had nothing to do with his power. It was a sign of his covenant with God. But when he told his heart, it's over. He woke up. Some of the saddest words, Brother Rush, I've ever read in the Bible. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. That's sad. That's sad. They grab him. They go, look, let me just read this. Judges 16, verse 1, after they took him, here's what the Bible said. Judges 16, 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. You see, if you stop short, they can be a gaze in your life. You can't, hey, look at me. I don't care how long you've been saved. You can get snared by sin. You can become a slave to sin. Romans 6 is still in that Bible. Who we yield our members to is whose servant we are. I'd say lost people are sinning because that's what's natural. Amen. For us who are saved, it is us yielding ourselves to sin. Amen. You can be slave to sin after having great victory if you ain't careful. Now, I'm saved forever, and I don't know how you feel on that. That's what the Bible says, and that's where I stand on it. Amen. But a child of God can get snared. He can. Saved as saved can get snared. If you stop short of victory, you could wind up being a slave to something. Amen. Some of you are going to have to think on this a while, and that's all right. I'm still preaching right. Amen. I'm trying to help somebody, if you'll let me help. I'm trying to help you. He said in Gath. Then he said in Gath. That sounds familiar too. 1 Samuel 17. We have a big fella come out who is a giant. He is a champion. And they say it's Goliath of Gath. Where did the giant come from? Joshua 11. Stopping short. And a giant come out of Gath. Hey, you stopping short of victory, he's going to put a giant up in your life that somewhere or another you're going to hit head on. You don't deal with it while they're shouting victory and you're enjoying the goodness of God. You're going to hit head on to it. Amen. Yes, sir. Brother Dennis, it'll happen as sure as we're here tonight. Amen. He said they left him in Gaza and get Ashdod. Now, most got Gath and Gaza pretty quick. Some are still scratching at Ashdod now. What's Ashdod? 1 Samuel chapter 4 and chapter 5. Chapter 4, Israel is fighting who? The Philistines. Ain't that interesting? All three places, Philistines. Type of the flesh, devil in the world. Ain't that? I don't think that. You reckon that's a coincidence? Sure, no, surely not. I think God knew there's a crazy mountain preacher be willing to preach out of Joshua 11 and let you know because they stopped, there they are. Amen. They're fighting the Philistines again. Somebody gets the bright idea. Let's go get the Ark of God. It's worked before. And they get that Ark and bring it in and they go to shout. Yeah, having a spell. But here's the problem. They're trusting the ark of God instead of the God of the ark.
Amen.
There's difference. Amen. They carried that into battle before. Hey, they carried around Jericho, had they not? Lord, this thing's not walls down. Let's go take it, fight these Philistines with it. Amen. But when the battle takes up, Israel is defeated. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are killed. And the Ark of God is taken. Word comes back to Eli, we're defeated. Your sons are dead. And here's the clincher. The Ark of God's been taken. And immediately, Eli falls backwards breaks his neck and dies. Phineas's wife goes into labor. She's great with child. And she gives birth to a boy. And with her dying breath, she names him Ichabod. The glory is departed from Israel. That ark's a type of the presence and power of God, the glory of God. And now it's gone. Paul Harvey, you say page 2, the rest of the story. 1 Samuel 5, they take that ark of God to Ashdod. Verse 2 of chapter 5, they set the ark of God up in the temple of Dagon and set the ark beside of Dagon. Now, if you don't know who Dagon is, he is the Philistines' fish god. Half man, half fish. And they set the ark of God right beside Dagon. I think it's a twofold message right there. One, they are saying, our God defeated your God. Are you hearing me? Because when we fail, we make our God look bad. You do understand all the world knows about God is through us. That's all they know. They're in darkness, I told you the other night. Amen. That's right. Another reason was they may put the ark there. They could have been saying, well, they're God just like ours. I'm hearing a lot of that on the news media now. The Christian God is the same as Allah. Anybody else heard that mess? That great lie of the devil? Amen? And then, are you hear? It makes our God look bad. But I want to hit a sidebar right there just a second. Psalm 115 talks about these idol gods, these false gods. The psalmist said they have eyes, but they cannot see. Mouths, but they cannot speak. Ears, and they cannot hear. A nose, and they cannot smell. Hands, and they cannot handle. Feet, and they cannot walk. I want to tell you, my God ain't like Allah. My God ain't like these gods that psalmist are. For my God has eyes that run to and fro through the earth and sees everything going on. My God's got ears and he hears every prayer we pray. He's got a mouth and he can whisper sweet peace to your soul. He's got a nose that can smell the sacrifice of praise. He's got hands that can pick you up when you fall, feet to walk in the fire with you. Our God is not like their God. Amen. We serve the true and the living, the only existing God there is. Amen. Yes, sir. I don't want to stop short because I don't want to paint a wrong picture to this world. Preacher, do you ever get discouraged? Oh, yes. Preacher, do you ever feel like you run your head against the wall? Oh, yes. Preacher, do you ever murmur and complain? Yes. Yes. Until I'll just sit real still and shut up, then he'll speak up. And I find out what I'm going through is going to bring him glory somewhere or another. There's a lot of things we go through, and listen to me, some of it you're never going to know why. I'm trying to wind down. I preach all night and I meant to. Now, I didn't mean to preach this on, but this is what's on my heart. Job had a day like you and I have never had. Brother Rusty, though he gets double back at the end. You correct me if I'm wrong. You've been in long, I have. Preacher, you've been long, I have. Preacher, you know the book too. I have never read in the book of Job or anywhere else in the Bible where God ever told Job why. I never find God telling Job, here's why I let this happen. After all them days of silence, Brother Rusty, he said, I've looked for God on the right and ain't there, looked to the left, if I could find him, I'd tell him what's going on. Amen. And when God stepped onto the scene, he wasn't giving answers. He is asking questions.
Amen.
Where were you?
Yes, sir.
When the morning stars sang together?
Yeah. Amen.
Can you draw a line in the sand and tell the sea to only come this far and stop? Hey, God, that make you want to run up the wall backwards. You think about that. He said you could come this far. You ain't going no further. You're going to go in and out. You'll come in further at night, go back out in the day. Ain't no way a bang done that. How in the world could you believe such lies as that? There ain't no way. God just draw the line.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Talked about a snowflake.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, son, he wasn't there with answers. He's asking Job some questions. Amen. And we find Job quit asking questions. Amen. He got so many questions back, he said, forget mine. Mine don't even get nowhere near yours. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You may not understand, and I may never. And by the way, he may not even tell us in heaven. I ain't got no Bible saying he's going to tell us all that later on, neither. I got a feeling we're going to be some mesmerized. It's going to take a while to get over that first look. You think we've acted peculiar this week and we've got a little... You wait till we get that first look.
Amen.
I saw him by the eye of faith here. But one day, face to face.
Amen.
I'm telling you, my friend, we're on the winning side. Victory is high. Just don't stop short.
Amen.
Why live beneath your birthright? Could you imagine having your daddy a billionaire and you living in a cardboard box on the street eating out of dumpsters? You ain't been run off. You ain't been threatened about coming home. It is available to you anytime you... But you choose to live in a box and eat out of a dumpster. Well, we wouldn't think of doing that. Why would we, as the children of God, live beneath victory? I want to encourage you, Stony Fork, and all these other churches here tonight, what God's gave you these days, tomorrow night, don't let it die. Go further with God than you've ever gone. Don't stop short of victory. It's yours for the claimant as his child. Amen. Let's don't stop short.